Green Visions, Green Ideas.
Hello and welcome everybody to the new episode of Green Visions, Green Ideas. This podcast series is as always sponsored by allgoodspeakers.com. My name is Oliver Niebuhr and with me today is Dominik Däuber from the Chair of Applied Cryptography of the Friedrich Alexander University Erlangen-Nürnberg. So in Germany, welcome Dominik.
Hi Olli, thank you for the nice introduction.
Of course, very welcome. And our topic today is also something for basically young researchers, which is basically what you are, because we are talking about Bitcoins. And I think that at least half of our listeners might actually wonder now, what is a Bitcoin? And perhaps, Dominik, we should start to explain to our listeners what a Bitcoin is.
Yeah, I try my best. So Bitcoins are a cryptocurrency or a digital means of payment. That means that the transactions or payments are stored or maintained in a distributed ledger. And this distributed ledger is also referred to as a blockchain because the transactions are stored in blocks. But now you might wonder, what is a distributed ledger? So when you, when you're doing online banking, the bank needs to keep track of your account balance. So when you make a bank transfer, they need to check the account balance before and then afterwards. And this bookkeeping process is done in Bitcoin in a digital ledger, in the blockchain.
Okay. This is a huge file. Can we say it like this? Because it comes with the entire bookkeeping along.
You could say it like this. But it's not one file. It's distributed. So okay. Each participant in a Bitcoin network has its own version of this file.
Oh, okay.
So we shouldn't say file, probably, of this database, because they also say database, because it's a chain. So it's kind of several files connected with each other.
Okay. But what is the difference then? I mean, if I now log into my bank account, it is also digital. I guess that nobody is actually writing in the background, but I'm transferring from A to B. So what is the difference now to the blockchain?
So the great difference, I would say, is that the blockchain is maintained in a peer-to-peer network. So there is no central authority. Your bank stores your transactional data into one database, into their database, and probably syncing that with other banks. And the process might be complicated, but the difference is in Bitcoin, there's no central authority. So the participants or the peers in the network, they need to maintain this ledger themselves. And this is kind of the huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see. And it's actually quite on vogue at the moment. I think that Tesla has been in the news, first for accepting Bitcoins to pay their cars, basically, and then for rejecting again Bitcoins to pay their cars. So what do you think? Will we all pay with blockchain at some point, or will blockchain be something like a temporary on vogue phenomenon that would also disappear again?
So that's a difficult question. In my opinion, the blockchain is a technology that is, that will stay because it's already been around for like more than 10 years, actually around since 2008. And it hasn't disappeared so far. So there must be something about the technology that keeps it there. However, in my opinion, I don't see a proper use case at the moment. So at the moment, Bitcoin is used mainly for investment and not for payment. And the only payment aspect is currently in the darknet. So it is used a lot for cybercrime.
Okay. And perhaps payment is already a good point, or basically the use of Bitcoins. The other aspect that our listeners might actually wonder about is, what does Bitcoins have to do with some kind of green visions, green ideas? Or in other words, what is the connection between Bitcoin and climate change? The reason why Tesla has rejected again from payments with Bitcoins is that Bitcoins are actually fairly dirty money. So there's a lot of server processing behind a Bitcoin. It's, I think it's called mining, and I guess you can explain a bit what actually mining is, but perhaps some numbers for our listeners. Each Bitcoin transaction at the moment costs about 313 kilo of CO2. And basically for each coin, for each transacted or transferred coin, you can pay 695,000 times with your Visa card, or you can watch 52,000 hours of YouTube movies. So this is actually quite a lot. Can you explain, Dominic, where does this huge amount of energy come from?
Yeah, so as I said, the ledger is maintained in a distributed manner. So all the peers in the network have their own local copy of the blockchain. And now if this chain needs to be extended by a new block, the network needs to achieve consensus on how the next block should look like. And this consensus mechanism is called proof of work in Bitcoin, or it's actually using a concept called proof of work. And this proof of work involves a lot of computation. So those miners, those are the ones that actually propose the new blocks. They have their computers running 24/7 to solve a cryptographic puzzle. And the solution of this puzzle is kind of crucial for the rest of the network accepting the new block.
Okay, I see. So basically what this means, if I got it correctly, is that if one person pays with a block, with a Bitcoin, then basically all copies of the Bitcoins in the distributed network have to take a different shape to achieve consistency again.
No, but let me try to make an example. So
yes, please.
Let's say I want to send some Bitcoins to you.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be a transaction that I would then send to the network and wait for it to be included in some block. But at the same time, I could say, I changed my mind and I want to send the same Bitcoin to another person.
Mm-hmm.
And I could issue also this transaction and send it to the network. But now, of course, only one of those transactions should actually become part of the blockchain. So the network needs to agree on which transaction. And the miners, they are creating the new blocks. So they are listening on the network to get the new transactions and include them into the block. So both of those transactions, of those competing transactions, look valid to the network. And one miner probably might include the one transaction and another miner might include another transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are both competing. So they are solving this cryptographic puzzle. And you can say who first gets the solution decides which transaction actually made it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a big puzzle. I see. These are actually impressive numbers, 330 kilogram CO2 per coin or per transaction. How would you say could this technology be improved? Can it be improved at all? I mean, this doesn't really look like a sustainable currency. If the Bitcoin is actually supposed to become a currency for regular payment, I think then things need to be changed because this cannot be sustainable. It might very quickly, I think, exceed the energy resources of the whole planet. So what are the perspectives for Bitcoin then, in your opinion?
Yeah, so research has been aware of this problem for many, many years. And already in 2011, there were proposals to replace this proof of work mechanism by something called proof of stake. So you're no longer investing computational power to mine new blocks, but your stake in the currency determines your contribution in this mining process, or in the case of proof of stake, it's called minting actually. But that's just a terminology thing. And there are many, many other approaches. So there's also proof of space, where it's more about memory than about computational power. And there are also proposals to have proof of useful work. For example, there was one coin called Primecoin that had a cryptographic puzzle that produced prime numbers as an outcome. And those prime numbers could be used by mathematicians in research, for example. So there are alternatives to proof of work, but all the major cryptocurrencies haven't adopted another mechanism yet. So
okay. So basically, we can say Bitcoin is still dirty money, which is bad, but not that bad, because only a few people worldwide actually use it as a currency. And if this is supposed to become a popular currency, then there are solutions at hand that can make it less dirty. But nevertheless, I think it will, to some degree, of course, use energy and use resources. And the sooner these kind of resources will come from the renewable energies, the better and the cleaner will also the Bitcoin get. But of course, this applies basically to all digital money transactions. Yeah, thanks a lot then for this very useful information, Dominic. Again, we have talked to Dominic Däuber here, who is a researcher at the Chair of Applied Cryptography at the Friedrich Alexander University of Erlangen-Nuremberg. Many, many thanks, Dominic.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Very welcome. And we see each other next week. Bye-bye.